thank you. I'm really excited to be part of this panel today. It feels like the coordinators did, I think, a very great job putting us together, bringing up different issues, but building on each other's points. We have today, what I'm going to be talking about is dissemination. And it's so the title that apparently was covered by one of the logos. It's many of the logos somehow. It's really focusing on community health advisor programs that we have been conducting for a number of years. But the focus today is on dissemination. And I think many of the points that our colleagues today have brought up merged together very well with what I would like to share with you today. So my many co-authors include some of my colleagues that have worked with me for many, many years since I had really black hair and no children, and now they are going to college. So, and then some other colleagues who are more recent part of the team working and they are working with the California Division American Cancer Society. So, again, I wanted to acknowledge the funders, which include the NCI, as well as some funding from the California Division for the American Cancer Society. So for many of you have heard about the Por la Vida intervention model already, and what I hope so, because we have been in business for 25 years, so we celebrated 25 years last year, and this is, we have used, just as briefly, the natural helpers have been at the core of our promotores programs. And we started doing that, again, a lot of years ago, but we really wanted to maintain that focus, and were able to do so over time. Then what we did was to identify those natural helpers in our communities and then train them, recruit them if they had time, interest, and train them as community health advisors, which we, at the time, started calling consejeras. And as we started talking about promotoras more and more, then we called them whatever, promotoras, consejeras, anything that, community health advisors, now that we are also involved in some other communities who don't necessarily speak Spanish. So we have the CHAS. And then after they are recruited, they really work with their own networks. And we tend to put them, Por la Vida, we put them in small group sessions. And they tend to be anywhere between 10 and 20, try not to be more than 20, so that they can really interact with each other and work together. The other part that has been critical for us is the development of the facilitator's guide. And this, I don't think, can be overemphasized, that we put a lot of time and effort preparing materials that help the community health advisor to conduct a session, even if they never had that experience before. And this is also critical today, the presentation, because I'm talking about dissemination. So how can we then work and port, you know, make them portable, the model, to other communities, perhaps not with 25 years of experience. And the other part that we started doing many years ago, and it's definitely more than 15 years ago, started integrating as part of the Por la Vida Community Health Advisor Program diffusion through the learning partners. And it's pretty straightforward. So we had one consejera, 15 to 20 participants, then each of them identified some individuals with whom they were going to share what they learned in the small group session. So we had the integration of the diffusion into the model, and again, we have been able and fortunate to get funding from different sources over the years to do randomized controlled trials to test different programs, such as the Cuidándome Mujer y Cáncer, which was focusing on breast and cervical cancer, the Cuidándome Nutrition and Cancer, obviously focusing on nutrition. And we did things like, okay, so now we tested that the breast and cervical cancer screening work in a randomized controlled trial. Then now we took that and used that as a base, as a control group, and then developed a nutrition program, and that was now our comparison group. And so we always tried to build that way, and over the years had three programs that had been tested in randomized controlled trial studies focusing on breast and cervical cancer screening and nutrition and taking action for tobacco-free communities was the third one. All of them were 12 sessions, 12 weekly sessions that the consejeras were running. So what we did in the last few years was, as we were working with other communities and other groups too, to see how we can utilize the model in other environments, we also developed a new twist to that, which we call the Today Series, in which instead of having 12 weekly sessions, then what we were going to have is actually only one session, following essentially the same principles. And we developed the education materials to guide that session with the posters or handouts that were necessary, and put together a package that was really trying to bring implementation and outcomes together so that we had essential basic issues set as the tracking log as to what are the activities that are happening, basic implementation, so how many groups are happening, how many people are coming, attendance forms, implementation diaries that we tested and worked very well for community health advisors to self-assess how the how the session went and really help us to identify whether it was well received, whether the group conducted the activities that they were supposed to conduct, and whether they actually not only were conducted but were worked out well and again well were well received. And then we added to that, of course, a series of questionnaires with the traditional pre, post, and follow-up that could be done in a setting without using tremendous amount of resources, but at the same time being a basic providing basic information for us to have to know what is happening in the session and what are the outcomes for the session. So essentially, those are the critical components that, building on our experience over the years, we put together so that we could use the model and then make it more portable to other communities. So we worked and started that collaboration now a few years ago with the American Cancer Society, the California Division. They had heard about promotores programs like everyone else. Oh, we want to do promotores programs. Right, how do we do that? They want, give me a guideline, you know, like 1 to 10, you know, what to do and how to do it. So we listened to what they thought they wanted, and they wanted a handbook of, okay, this is how you do it. And when we work with them, instead of preparing a handbook, say, so let's make it happen. How is that going to happen? So we built on the community health advisor programs. That's in underserved Latino communities. That was their target. They wanted to work on colorectal and breast cancer early detection as a priority area because that's what the ACS had as a priority area. And we convinced them very successfully and in a very nice way that what we needed to do is to involve some of the partnerships that they already had in their field and in their fields in the different regions, and then see how we can all put it together with very limited budget, the timeline that sometimes worked was quite crazy, and what were the organizational directives and constraints, which could be important and many. So for this particular project, what we did with them, I listed participants, because when we talk about participants, like we could start with saying, okay, we had, 1,000 people came. Well, but there were so many layers, and that is what I think it really builds really well, and I'm glad I was last with the presentations before, because we do have some, of course, our Por La Vida team and with the SDSU UCSC Cancer Center Partnership Outreach Corps that we have in place that really provides the infrastructure to work with other organizations. We, of course, were part of the team. But then we had the California Division and their regions, within California. So it was not just one single organization, many offices. And at the same time, the ACS at the time for this project, and that happened in the last 2 years, the focus was on community clinics. And community clinics was it. So they wanted to work with community clinics at this time. So, and some community clinics do have already, and we're talking about 20 community clinics who they wanted to involve. We were able to involve for this project too. Some of them have already community health advisor programs, but some do not. So we needed to, and this was one of the issues that was really important, to work with everyone to realize we need to have and involve and acknowledge the community health advisor organizations that exist and are going to be part of the program. And another layer is the community health advisors. So now we have, again, you know, you see how we start multiplying, but it's not linear. It's not just simple, okay, one, and then out of there, two, out of there, three. No, it then starts being very, very complex network. Then we had, of course, the community members attending the educational session and the learning partners of those community members. So when we look at the program implementation for this particular project, the ACS California Division got a grant from Walmart. All over the nation, I don't know if some of you were involved in that, got grants. This was the one that they got in California. And so when we were looking at that, they really had less than a year to do everything. So I just want, you know, I just want to highlight that, because I call, if you remember challenges and opportunities, that's what, for the dissemination, that's what we have. We have a lot, we already had a lot of a good system and very, I think, experience structure over again, building over the years and building on the randomized clinical trials and service programs that we have done. And then we could do very quickly, involving so many organizations, a total of 62 groups with almost 800 participants in breast cancer screening, and 15 groups and 150 participants almost for the colorectal cancer screening. This is just touching, passing on information about that. And I think it's good to for me, when I was hearing the presentations before, to see how we are in a very, very basic state here. People who had even heard of colorectal cancer screening, 30%. So it's really low. And then if you go, of course, to breast cancer, that's very different. We already know, we have heard about, now it doesn't mean that we all are conducting that, but the point here is about the dissemination of that. And how we can do very quickly in our communities, where sometimes information is extremely low, and benefiting from the collaborations with others, we can reach out to, again, we are talking about almost 1,000 people in less than, the intervention was in 3 months, all over California, with networks that were not necessarily existing, but that could be quickly put to work. And then for the learning partners, then even the numbers get even much, much higher. So very, in this case, is the intensity of the intervention is very small, but the potential impact to do a big splash, small effect size, large number of people in really in communities where even the basic knowledge is sometimes, unfortunately, way too low. That's what we were able to do here. So as a conclusion, we had this was an example of testing the dissemination of the community health advisor program in a way that can be done quickly. It's already structured and implemented across geographic areas and many different groups quickly. The other thing that I wanted to highlight, I think perhaps more than anything else, is that we're talking about complementing what is going on. This is not starting from scratch. That's what we started 26 years ago in some ways. But right now it's complementing. Where are we? How can we complement? The program, I think, is a great strength for this program, the flexibility that has. And we have single sessions that can be used as modules or series, but the program per se is at the core flexible, so much so that we are right now in testing and working with different communities outside of our Latino comfort, and it's working extremely well, this approach, because, again, the flexibility that is built into that. Another thing that I wanted to highlight as a conclusion is this is one of those programs that perhaps we can see as a way to ramp up our efforts, because we certainly have been working on that for many years, but it seems like we still need it, and I just, along with many of you, probably want to see the day where we don't have to do those programs. You know, we're done. We don't have to do cancer. We don't have to do cancer screening. We already took care of that. We have the Affordable Care Act corrected and improved, and, you know, we are all taken care of. And meanwhile, and along those lines, the program is talking about cancer health disparities, addressing that, but really building on collaboration and nurturing partnerships. That is, I am convinced, the name of our game and how we are going to be successful. Thank you.
If any of our speakers could come to the front, please. Okay, so we have a little time for questions now. So any questions from the audience? Yes.
Trying to figure out exactly what might be some characteristics that we can look at. I wasn't comfortable imputing citizenship for the analysis. So we're working on that. So maybe next year I can show what we learned, if we learned something about it. But yeah, I'm interested in learning more about them.
Yeah.
I've looked at papers that didn't. I've published some that didn't consider citizenship at all, and just looked at this trend in screening over time. And I keep hanging on to the Pap smear one because of this. And so I have a student who looked at it cross-sectionally. She just looked at, I believe she did her analysis on the 2010 data. And so we did start to look at age groups. So we looked at like 20 to 25, 20 to 30, you know, to see and. There was a significant difference for those women being in those more reproductive years, and so the next step is going to see how does that look over time and for citizenship. but trying to stratify, we did look at some age grouping for this analysis. It was kind of too much to report, but they are the ones, I believe, that are getting screened more often.
For La Vida, we have always relied on the natural helper. So individuals who are in the community may not have experience, but they tend to be the people that others relate to. And when you go to a school, they say, oh, this person is so helpful. So in for La Vida, we have always done that. With the groups that are already in existence, and this is the part of the dissemination. So we are looking for groups.